I think so often when we are gleaning things from the Lord, He may take those things that we've gleaned from Him, and for example, when we come to Lord's Day morning at the remembrance meeting, He may take those thoughts and use them in a way that we didn't think about before. For example, here with Gideon, I'm sure Gideon wasn't thinking that the angel of the Lord was going to ask him to do these things with his present, but nevertheless he does, and the Lord gets the glory. And just one other point about that, it's really the Lord's portion that's due him. At the end of verse, in the middle of verse 18, it says, "Bring forth my present." So it's something that that we could recognize. It's not for our glory, but it's something that it would be. It's for the Lord's glory. It's His present that we're bringing. And He doesn't necessarily say in the beginning, "This is exactly what I want you to bring." But the heart of Gideon would go, and it's his own. It's what he's gleaned from the Lord that he's able to gather together and bring to present to him, and it would be acceptable because, as we've been saying, it's all speaking of Christ.
I want to say this. I would say this, that when Gideon secured the first lot or the first portion, it was securing it from the enemy. That's what the scripture said. And it was in the wine press. The wine press, as we have heard, I just want to make a different application and approach that portion, is really the true vine is the Lord Jesus, and the press is the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God will bring the thoughts of the Lord Jesus, it will give the man the energy and the strength and the empowerment to secure things from the enemy. But when it comes to securing something for God, although it was in the wine press, as you mentioned, Emil, I like to bring the application in that scene. When the angel will put it upon this rock, it is not really much the wine press, but it is really the oil press, Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus has endured from the hand of God so that He can secure us, secure you, secure me to the blessed God. But I like the act of the Lord. Gideon realized this person, whether he knew it was the Lord or a man of God. But he says, "Depart not until I come to you." And I want every individual, young and older as well, is to understand the graciousness of the heart of Christ. "I will not depart. You go bring it." The Lord is always waiting. If you have a desire to offer something to the Lord, don't think, "Well, it's too late." It's never too late. Never too late. Because the Lord in His grace, He says, "Go, and I'll be waiting until you come back." And I will challenge the young people. As we have heard, it's not only the worship meeting. But out of this youth conference, I would like to see people going to their own local testimonies. And the Lord is telling them, "I'm waiting. What you're going to present to me? What you're going to offer to me?" If you look at these verses, it brings Christ from different aspects of the New Testament. So the other brethren will help in that. But I like always, which you read very, very few times, about the broth in the pot. The broth. The broth was a mean to warm somebody up. And brethren, there is nothing like warming the hearts of the people of God with presenting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk about so many things. We can talk about experiences and so many other things. It will not warm the hearts of the people of God. What will warm your heart and mine is to present the pot or the broth in the pot. That is to say, the warming effect of the person of the Lord Jesus.
Now we've got three offerings here really before us. We will touch on the third one in a moment. But what we have in the first one is the peace offering. A kid of the goats, is it not? And that brings before us the element of fellowship, because that's what the peace offering would set out as we contemplated in Leviticus. But along with the peace offering comes the meal offering, which sets out the perfection and beauty of the life of the Lord Jesus. But the peace offering would be the idea of what we can enjoy in relation to how He has secured things for us. And then we're going to come on to the burnt offering, which would be what is fully for God. But if we might ask a question in terms of the fire, how does the fire play into this for us, and what would be the significance of the fire out of the offerings that are here? What would we say is the significance of the fire?
Well, I would say what I think of, I don't know whether it's right, but I think of the holy judgment of God. We've had Gethsemane. We've had the cross. And it's there where I see God's righteous requirements all vindicated, all met. Not only that, but God absolutely glorified in the work that His Son has finished. So, is that something akin to what you're looking at, David?
Yes. I just wanted to add to that. When we're going to bring an offering, and we bring it on the basis of the fire, it is the only means whereby whatever is suitable for God can be received. It's on the basis of fire. I think of what you get in Luke 24, there where when the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples, He says to them in the upper room, "Have you anything to eat?" And what He finds among them is a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. The broiled fish would indicate that it has gone through the fire. And anything that is going to be palatable and acceptable to God, acceptable to the Lord Jesus, from our hands, must pass through the fire. That's where things get tested. What are we bringing? Am I bringing of myself? Then if I bring of myself, it certainly isn't going to be acceptable. But what I bring must pass through the fire, fully tested and made acceptable for God.
1 Corinthians 3 brings forth that idea. Paul speaks about, you can read starting at verse 10, that the foundation is laid, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. So that's set. We know that whatever we bring to the Father, to God, must be based on the life, the work, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be the foundation. Now what it says here, if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire shall try the work of each what it is. So it's the testing of our work. Is the work, is it gold, is it silver, or is it just straw and hubble? Something that will, straw and stubble, things that will burn up in the fire. So it's the testing of the work. It's the quality of what we're bringing.
But also it speaks, that's one side of it. The other side speaks of acceptance. Because again, when the fire of the Lord comes and accepts the sacrifice, that means God have accepted the sacrifice. And remember, in the case of Elijah, you know, it said the God that answered from heaven with fire, He is the true God. So God have accepted that it gone through the test, and God have accepted that.
And that's what propitiation is. So sometimes when we sit in the meetings and we hear these expressions, it means that the sacrifice of the Lord has appeased God. It has been fully accepted by Him, and that is why we say He sits down at the right hand of God in the value of His work, because it was accepted to God, accepted by God.
He has accepted, but we remember that the Lord Jesus restored that which He took not away. And young people, it's a wonderful day in our life when we realize that Jesus has paid the price for all of our sins. That's a wonderful thing to realize, such a magnificent thing as that. But I think there's a greater thing than that. And that is to see that God has not only satisfied, but He is absolutely glorified in the work of His Son. There is no glory like the glory of the cross. There's no glory that compares when we think of the work that our Lord Jesus has done, that He has laid the foundation. He has laid the foundation, really, for the world to come. and every blessing that this earth is going to see. It is all laid upon that wonderful sacrifice that he made there. So we don't want to come short on that side, do we?